Okay, are we rolling now? Okay, yo, yo, yo! Welcome to the Lincoln Cast. You're listening to the Lincoln Cast, episode 22, for the week
Nailed
of
it.
September 22nd, 2012. I'm your host, Nivorama, and with me here today are self-confessed Nick,
Hello. You did well there.
and Shinboy.
Hello. Just like to inform everyone that after his massive amount of alcohol consumption last week,
Durin died.
Durin is no longer
Durin
with
died.
us.
Yeah, Durin's not here to stop me because guess what? Who's the king of this podcast now? I am.
See, when we heard of Durin's tragic death at the hands of six screwdrivers and I believe a full bottle of chocolate wine, it turned out to be, that was, at least that was other than the police report. Noob Rama's immediate reaction was, "Hey, can I host the next podcast?" And
Yeah. One despotic ruler dies, and now a benevolent dictator has risen to the throne.
Our dear leader.
Dear leader, dear Rido Nuvorama.
Doesn't
how have you
pass
been
up
this
a
week?
single opportunity to bring up his false past.
Okay, this is some sort of defamation calling me not North Korean because fuck
Is it
you.
real to you?
I am
is it real
proud
to
of
you? Is
my
that how
heritage,
this...
Cynic. I'm proud of my heritage. And you and your capitalist cronies can't deny my heritage. It's my civil liberty
Okay,
and right.
joking aside, are you of North Korean descent?
No, he's not.
Yes,
Like,
I
am.
I had to ask.
I am.
He's not.
I am.
We've confirmed this in the past. He's like,
You know what?
I'm
I
not
find it
North
really
Korean, as
offensive
you can
that you
get.
are prying into my past, and it's making me uncomfortable. So, how have you been this week, Cynic? How have you been this week?
I've been good. I've finally gotten a chance to read a series of books I haven't read for a long time.
What
50
series
Shades
of
of Grey.
books?
I've
50
been
Shades of
trying to
Grey.
read
50 Shades of Grey.
The Lost Fleet. Has anyone heard of it? I can bring
Nope.
it. I think it's David Campbell is his pen name.
Campbell.
He has a pen name, but he also freely admits to his actual name, which is the kind of thing is kind of counterproductive and kind of dumb. Like,
It's
why would
also
you
really,
even?
really common.
Who
Really?
only has a pen
Even?
name and goes only by a pen name?
That's what pen names were for.
I don't know, man. A lot nowadays, like no one's like totally pen name only, aren't they?
Then what's the point of having a pen?
Well,
I
it's like
can't.
a lot of
Okay.
like actors and actresses have stage names, and they just
Yeah.
freely admit that it's a stage name, and
Dude.
like everyone knows what the real name is.
Yeah, like
Well, I
Charlie
don't think
Sheen.
everyone knows because he goes, "I am X, and my pen name is X." Like that's how he introduces himself,
My pen name is
which is
X.
kind of
So it's like
why.
will.i.am, but he's an author.
Wait, what's will.i.am's real name?
I don't know.
Does he actually do that? Is William one of those dudes with the?
Isn't his
You don't
name
know
William?
you don't know who
Because
will.i.am
I would
is?
assume his name is William.
Probably. I don't know. I don't like the Black Eyed
That
Peas.
actually makes a
His
lot of
name
sense. I
his.
can't believe I didn't think of
Did you say
that.
you don't like black guys, Shinboy?
No, I don't like the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, okay, that's cool too.
But would you
No,
be surprised if Shinboy said he didn't like black people?
What?
You're
calling
this.
me a
I'm
rat? I'm about to
not
leave
a
this
terrible
podcast.
racist like Cynic, and I run a tight ship, and I refuse to let you say those racial slurs on this podcast.
Oh
Yeah.
shit, I
I'll
was
leave.
so
It'll just
close to
be you
saying
and
the N
Noob.
word. I was so close to saying the N word.
Wow.
Oh man.
Yeah, William
I'm
James
bad.
Adams Jr. Okay, you're a bad
What
person.
I've learned is Australians are far less, like,
No, I think
even
it's just
remotely
you.
racially conscious.
I think it's just
Oh,
you. It might be
it
just
might just
you.
be me.
It might
It
be
might
just
just
you.
be
You're
me.
just a terrible person. Okay.
No, I'd be willing to bet it on it though that Aussies are just like less
Yeah,
caring. We just
maybe.
don't give a
Yeah.
No, I think that
about that kind of
sometimes
stuff.
America cares too much. I'll admit that.
I don't know. Like there's some level of
Caring is sharing. Oh wait, no, that doesn't make sense. That's not
Yeah.
related. But
Caring is
there's
sharing?
an old fable called Caring is Learning About Shinboy. How
Oh
have you been,
God.
Shinboy?
Wait, I didn't get to t okay, so The
What?
Lost Fleet. The
Yes.
Lost
Well, it's
Fleet.
a book.
The
It's a
book the
series of
book
books.
series
It
of books
is a
I've
book.
read.
It
Have you
has
guys heard of
pages
them?
and words.
Have you guys heard that series of the series of
I have
books?
not heard of that series
What
of books,
is it
no.
about, Cynic? Enlighten us.
Think of Battlestar Galactica,
Wait,
but
was this the one you were saying was like a space opera?
it's no, it's that's the genre, but it doesn't fall into a lot of this the what would you call it? The
The tropes of space operas.
the tropes of space opera. Like it's very realistic. He
You
attempts
know,
to
for
depict.
sci-fi.
Yeah,
Yeah,
for
he
as
attempts to
realistic as a sci-fi. What was it like? The characters are realistic, or the technology seem realistic?
The characters are a little bit fluff. Okay, so the entire thing is he's an ex, not Marine, he's an ex-ship commander. Not a commander, I think he was just the helmsman. But so essentially he has a really good, and he used to work for the intelligence agencies as well, the U.S. intelligence agencies. I think it's Marine intelligence. But anyway, so he has like a firm handle on relativistic speeds and that kind of stuff. Not in terms of travel at relativistic speeds. I mean, speed of craft relative to one another, and formations, and getting into formation, and travel times. So he is like a firm grasp on that, and he has a bunch of physicist friends. So essentially, he's able to as close to believability as I've seen sci-fi getting. Just in terms of outside of the fact that they have fast and life travel for between star systems, within star systems they travel at about 0.1 light, 0.2 light, and he actually depicts the relativistic effects and what that does to targeting systems and that kind of stuff during the combat as described in the novels. But aside from that, it's just like pretty good fiction. It's a long withdrawal sequence. And for anyone interested out there, and it's just well done. The characters are a little bit too honorable for me.
Oh, see, that would put me off.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Right,
are they like, I'm fighting for justice. I can't let you do that.
The main character is. Oh. And that's kind of the put off.
Yeah. You just lost me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? And but it's written by someone from the U.S. military. So I can see why he would have, like, because it's all about, it's a fish out of water thing, because I won't go into it, but essentially he's from an era where the people around him have had degenerations, their morals have degenerated, and so he's essentially lifting
everyone's an Australian
our old standards.
So
in the context of the book.
So my roommate's computer just turned itself back on. That's weird.
It's the ghost roommate.
I'm gonna see if I can turn that off. I will be right back, like in 2 seconds.
No problem. But yeah, that was my week, Noobarama. Thank you for asking. How was your week?
My week was good. I went to Japan. I ate some pocky. It's pretty cool.
You lie. Okay, so
I went to Tokyo, by boat from.
Where'd you go to Tokyo? Name four places you visited within Tokyo.
Akihabara. Uh-huh. And and I met the Emperor Hirohito. No, Hirohito is dead. I saw the ghost of Emperor Hirohito. we played ping pong. Wait, no, ping
what
pong
is Chinese.
What hotel
did you stay at, Nakahabara?
We played. What's a Japanese sport?
Soccer.
Soccer is not a Japanese.
Baseball.
Baseball. Yeah, we played baseball. We watched some animes. We went shopping for some anime figurines. You know, I got to know
like,
the guy.
Seriously,
good.
The Japanese love both soccer and baseball.
Yeah, they do. And you know, Hirohito.
Also sumo.
Cool guy.
I think that's right. Right.
Pardon?
Sumo.
Oh yeah, sumo. Yeah, we sumo wrestled. Me and Emperor Hirohito.
Yeah, there you go.
Sumo wrestled. And yeah. So what that meant is I really didn't.
You had a long week at school.
Week.
You passed out and you woke up.
Why? What?
Wait, so dream, I come back and I hear about people passing out and
yeah, New Brahma passed out and dreamt he went to Japan
and
met Emperor Hirohito and sumo wrestled with him.
He met. Did you meet Takafuji?
Takafuji. Yes. Oh God. See, Durin can't stop this. This train will go on regardless of how low we go, or it doesn't make sense. So, Shin Boy, tell me about your week.
It was good, I guess. Borderlands is pretty good. Borderlands. I'm playing a lot
of
that.
How's Borderlands?
It's Borderlands. That's about it.
Is it Borderlands 2? Like, with is it just Borderlands with 2 stuck on it?
It's pretty much Borderlands with a 2 on the back of it, yeah. I mean, they made some improvements, like the inventory stuff and like the whole interface. Works a lot better on PC because I'm playing on the PC, and it looks a lot better.
From the quick look, that inventory looked fucking hideous and terrible.
Well, I mean, managing it with a mouse and keyboard works better.
Okay,
that's what I mean by that.
I'd still like, for example, on my graph of inventories, it is below even Mass Effect 1 in terms of just efficiency of that inventory.
Well, compared to Borderlands 1, it's great because Borderlands 1 had a shit inventory too.
How did that work in Borderlands 1 again? Inventory.
It didn't.
It just didn't do anything. It just sat there like a lump, and it was a list.
But like,
it was just
the
list.
Rest of the UI.
It was like Mass Effect 1.
It works better.
Mass Effect 1 was better.
Mass Effect 1 is a better game than 2, in my opinion.
No, I'm talking about like the inventory.
Fuck you. That's not what we are talking about, and you're wrong.
Okay. Anyway.
So, Well, I'm not the host this time, so I can't.
Yeah, man. The new Rama train will keep on rolling.
The gameplay in Mass Effect 2 is better. The story in 1 just kicks the shit out of the story in 2.
The story in 1 was fucking spectacular.
What? But, like.
The story, yeah.
I like Mass Effect 2. The characters.
Okay, I'm fine with spoiling the shit out of Mass Effect 1 because.
I'm fine with spoiling the shit out of 2 because that game's been out for a while.
It's been years. The ending sequence with the you on the Mako and that whole like run up and through that portal or whatever with the AI and stuff telling you the whole background of the system, that was awesome.
My favorite part of Mass Effect 1 was when you have the conversation with the Reaper with what's his face.
Oh, Saren? Not Saren.
No.
The Reaper dude.
Whatever his name is. But that conversation was legitimately frightening.
Wait, I don't know.
No, like the Reaper, the one that you kill.
Yeah, you have a conversation with like a hologram of him.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
I don't actually remember that part at all.
It was like one of the best parts of that game.
Sovereign,
yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I just don't remember that part. Like, is this the part where you meet, like, you get to the second like artifact thing, and you get the second?
No. This is when you go to like the place with like the Krogan, and you have to decide whether to kill Ashley or what's his face.
Yeah, it's the second Kaden? Artifact.
Was it
Kaden?
Yeah, Kaden.
It's Kaden. Ashley and Kaden. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck Kaden.
But you didn't know they were dying at the time. Fuck Kaden. Like, you didn't know they were going to die. You just know you're going to send someone off on them.
Well, no, I read the Wikipedia article before I played, so I did know that they were going to die.
That's sad. But yeah, no, that's the second vision.
I like to be prepared, man. I don't like being caught by surprise. I don't like being caught by surprise. That's my excuse.
Anyway, Borderlands is pretty good.
My main question... Okay, so I have a couple questions about Borderlands. One, is the music as good as Borderlands 1?
I think the music is fantastic. If any of you guys have played Black Light Retribution, where it's like not quite dubstep...
I have not played much Black Light Retribution.
Well, like I know a few people that have been on the show before have. Like I know Zoom Ramen has, and like it's kind of similar to that music where it's like sort of dancey but not quite dubsteppy, but it's got a lot of bass in it.
I don't know, man.
And mix it with the space western style of the first game.
Okay,
they pretty much fuse them together, and it sounds
That's I'm hoping
it's like electronic space western. It's really weird, but most of it sounds good.
That's cool.
I'm finding myself really enjoying the music.
So my second question was, have you finished? How far have you gotten in it?
I don't really know, like percentage into the story wise. I'm level 15 currently.
Level 15.
Okay, so I guess that's the question: is there a story?
Yes. I would say that the side quests are a lot more interesting, but the main quest is fucking Borderlands.
I didn't find Borderlands 1 story particularly engaging
because it wasn't.
It was like that woman who came up like on the screen and started talking to you. I had no idea what.
I would say it's better, but it's not what you play that game for.
It's all about the atmosphere.
A lot of the side quests are just one long giant reference.
Like I saw some of those achievements, cool. And I'm like, oh fuck, did they really do this?
I'm not going to spoil what's in the quest itself, but I'll just go off the name. There is a quest called Splinter Group, where you must go take down a splinter group of mutants that live in the sewers and love pizza.
That is pretty cool.
And you get a giant Top Gun reference quest from an NPC called Loggins.
I like it. More games should not more games should do that, but I hope games start doing
like people,
that.
I know a lot of people are saying like the humor is not that funny, like the one-liners and stuff are not that funny. Those giant reference quests are funny as hell. Just like they make
that's
you
cool.
They're funny in a make you facepalm like fuck you Gearbox kind of way.
Which I like
bad puns.
Okay, so even as much shit I give people who to deliver bad puns or make that their primary form of humor, I secretly appreciate it.
Bad puns are great.
You appreciate Suki and Revan.
Secretly.
Secretly appreciate
them. And Tsuzumi Ramen to some extent.
I
don't know who's the worst. I don't know who's the worst of them, but I do know that, on some level... when presented with puns that bad, you either never talk to that person again or you kind of laugh.
Or you do both.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What was that? Okay,
PC options of Borderlands are great. Just if anyone's worried about that, there are like a million fucking options.
That's so cool.
And an FOV slider.
Wait, so like how many guns are there? Like
there are
more
a gazillion
than
30? Guns.
Oh, gazillion. Oh, okay.
Are they as imbalanced as they were in the first Borderlands?
Not that I found. Not yet, anyway.
Because the first Borderlands, for I think it was Hellfire Quad Shot, or whatever they call it, Double Shot.
Oh, the SMGs.
SMG? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just kind of broke the game. Like, they're fun
anarchy.
To use. Oh, man. Yeah, Double Anarchy Hellfire. And that, yeah. Once you get one of those, the game's kind of over. Like, you can
well, I mean,
pretty
like
much
said,
two-shot.
I'm kind of, like, sort of in the beginning. I would still say the first act.
Right.
So...
Is it ridiculously easy to dupe weapons in that game like it was in the first one?
From what I've seen, yes.
Broken.
Apparently, apparently, what you can do, since they have a trading system in now, which I can see them fixing this pretty easily with making it autosave after a trade, you can trade someone all your money and then just either, if you're on a console, just like quit the game or like, you know, just kill your console, or I'm pretty sure on PC, you could probably duplicate it by Alt-F4. And just closing the game. So when you load back in, you still have all the money, plus the other person has all the money you gave them.
Right.
Oh, man.
And then rinse and repeat.
For me, that's how I played. I can't believe I'm bringing up this reference. Need for Speed Most Wanted on like PS2 or whatever it was. What you do
check out
you just
the duping scene in Need for Speed.
Yeah. You get two memory cards.
What did you even dupe? Like,
you get two memory cards. You copy your save over to the other one. You plug in both. You
hey
plug
man,
in two controllers, and then you
car.
Start a race that allows you. Like when if you beat the other person in the race, you keep their car.
Right.
So you straight up just do that over and over. Sell the car. Like you get the. You just rush to a decently expensive car. Do that over and over. Get the next expensive car. Do it over and over, and then you have all the cars in the game. That's it.
Man,
it was as quick as that.
I could earn you 1 million Need for Speed bucks. Just give me your memory card.
It's weird, oh, like, man. The stuff with the golden keys, which you used to unlock a specific chest, they fixed it already, but there was an exploit where you could just straight up edit the INI file to give yourself more keys.
Wow.
Which I may or may not have done to give myself all the pre-order bonuses.
I mean, do you Woo! Think, in your opinion, like, that kind of ruins Borderlands? Because
No, because
yeah,
it only gives you
like
purples, not gold.
Exactly. So Borderlands is, like, even if you glitch it the fuck out of it, it's not inherently broken. Like,
actually, I don't know. I made custom weapons in the first game.
All right.
Oh
yeah. Yeah.
Where?
Oh
like,
yeah.
I could one.
I just
like
played around with it to see
boss.
How broken I could make.
I made a gun
weapons.
That was so broken that it had a level requirement in the millions and the money value. The money, the numbers would just keep rotating and never stop.
Wow.
No, I just mean the ones that you make it shoot so many things that do crazy stuff that the game just starts breaking.
I got it to the point with the siren tree that increases your fire rate plus an SMG mm-hmm. that had such a high fire rate that the like the audio file of you shooting couldn't keep up with the actual fire rate of the weapon.
I did that, but I got it to shoot rockets. And not the normal rockets, the ones that go in a spiral motion, I think it was.
God.
Like spiral and then like branch out into multiple directions. So the physics engine, like when I started shooting it, everything started like the frame rate dropped like crazy and I, like everything just stopped knowing what the fuck to do. The game just had like no idea what to do with that weapon. So I didn't crash though. When I stopped firing, it took a couple of seconds and things went back to normal. But yeah, whilst I was firing, the game was broken. I love that. I loved that about the first Borderlands.
Yeah, there's some like pretty bad texture popping issues that people are having. If anyone is playing on the PC, you can actually go into documents, my games, Borderlands 2. There's the Willow engine.
Well, what if you get a 72-hour ban from a Borderlands person?
No, this isn't. This is just a graphics fix. It's not actually cheating. There's pretty much the texture pop-in is actually a thing that's coded into the engine, or at least into the config file. So you can just go in, and I forgot the exact thing. You'll see some numbers. It's like 0.3. There'd be like two sets of in and out, and you can change those all to zero, and it'll pretty much eliminate all texture pop-in on the PC because it's pretty much
that's
telling
pretty cool.
the game to wait X amount of time to load the textures.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So it's just a simple fix. And then you can...
Yeah,
so...
it's probably has to do with either coding it for the consoles or for lower-end PCs.
For what I've seen of it, it doesn't seem to me like the game would require that much in terms of PC performance.
If you want the PhysX stuff on, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the PhysX stuff looks crazy.
Yeah, like, I just watched my roommate play
it.
It's fucking nuts. it pretty much adds a whole bunch of extra particle effects and a whole bunch of other extra cloth stuff. So like pretty much the Siren, their skill is a phase lock, which pretty much means they lift someone up in the air. And say you have like a fire weapon, when you shoot people, like sparks go flying everywhere, which is another physics thing. And
right.
Say there's like liquid on the ground and those sparks flying around from using a fire weapon. If you phase lock someone, all that stuff will get like sucked up into it. In addition to like all the cloth stuff or okay, like an area cool. being lifted. It looks really, really nice, but you kind of need a good system to run that.
At least making me want the next set of consoles in Unreal Engine 4 so bad. So bad.
Oh. UE4 is going to be cool. What the hell is that game that they're making?
UE4? Europa Universalis 4?
No.
No?
Okay, well, no random freaking niche strategy games.
Okay, it is not niche. It is more mainstream than fucking Call of Duty. Fuck you. Fuck you. Prove me wrong.
By what metric? By what proof do you have?
I play it more than Call of Duty. There you go. I am the market that Call of Duty
sample size
Europa
of one. That's all you need.
Right.
Grammar.
Right.
Control group.
Because I'm like one of those people who buy like 500,000 copies.
On the back of the box, more popular than Call of Duty in certain demographics.
In North Korea.
The most popular game in North Korea on Steam. That's great. That's fantastic. That's great.
Fuck.
Wait, I'm playing MLB The Show in 3D just because.
What's MLB?
Wait, so...
Is that Major League Basketball?
Major League Baseball.
Oh.
In 3D because it apparently supports 3D.
So
the ball comes flying at your face?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's crazy.
Actually, no, not really.
That's cray, though.
Wait, what do you get? The crowd is further back.
No, it actually works pretty well. Like if you zooms out and show the whole field, like say you hit like a fly ball to center field or something, you can actually see a good amount of depth with it. It's actually pretty cool.
What is this for, the PC?
PS3.
Oh,
PS3.
I mean, I wouldn't play like that all the time because it's not worth it, and my eyes would hate me. But it's just cool every so often just to show off.
Again, can't wait for the next consoles where 3D is less of a thing, and if it's more of a thing, then at least those things will be able to drive it better, because goddamn.
It actually, the frame rate's not too bad. It like normally handles it at 30 because, you know, it's a console game,
yep.
And it stays at 30 in 3D. So.
Okay.
I don't think it's rendering it twice. I don't think that's how it works.
It's not. Well, it should be, but they usually halve the resolution in some fashion to get that working.
And then upscale it, or half the frame rate.
Yeah, because fuck having like a double rendering on a console.
It also supports the SimulView thing, which is something weird that Sony does. SimulView? With like, if you have one of their like the PlayStation branded display, I don't know, the newer Sony 3D TVs might do it too. If you have like the 3D glasses on, one person sees one thing and another person sees the other thing.
Oh,
That's pretty cool.
The example they gave, I think it was when Killzone came out. If you're playing split screen, one person sees like them full screen. And the other person sees like themselves full screen.
Oh God!
Oh,
so what do you guys think of the Wii U thing?
Wii U fucking sucks.
Man,
end of discussion. Moving on.
Bayonetta. I want Bayonetta 2, but I don't think I
would
buy it.
Wait, but have you even played Bayonetta 1 yet?
Yeah,
that's I have the only not. Game if I want my dumb action games, I can go elsewhere.
I literally have an Xbox, and I have one game in it: Bayonetta. That's it.
Yeah, but to be fair, you got the Xbox for free. Do you actually like Bayonetta?
Yeah, I really love the combat. I wish it was on PC, but
dude, you should play more Xbox. Like, well, it's too late now because the generation is about to end. But
I'll just stock up on all these Xbox games because, you know, this console war is gonna go on forever.
But there's so many good games on it that you miss. Yeah. To be
are there really
on the Xbox?
I mean, there's no Europa Universalis for, so it doesn't have like the big mainstream.
No, but like what? Then again, he has it already. I'm saying like what games would be worth buying that system for?
Right. At this point,
it's hard to say. Again, because
I was thinking of picking up Forza, and then I'm like, okay.
Forza's a
No, just get Project Cars. Good. Just get Project Cars on PC.
Or even better, just get Dirt for PC.
No, yeah, get Project Cars. Because Project Cars is fucking nuts.
I'm still not convinced I could run it at all.
What, Project Cars?
Yeah.
That game is pretty. That game also sounds really good.
It's stupid. Are we talking about the same thing? Is it the one where I think you linked me a picture of it, and I'm like, that looks real?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That game.
I don't think I could. I still. I'm not convinced I can.
Have
run.
You seen it in motion?
It's no, I haven't seen it in motion.
It looks so good, especially if you go to like the cockpit view, like the driver view. That plus all the sounds is ridiculous. Aww. Like you don't even need a UI. Like it's so just the instruments in the car.
Does it do the cool thing that I think was Need for Speed? One of the new Need for Speed that's trying to be a racing game did where in cockpit view you have the driver's head cam, which he just turned. Like it's a cockpit view, but he turns his head to face the apex of the corner, so it's actually shifts that view for you. It's not just a shitty static cockpit view.
Oh, that I would pretty... I don't know off the top of my head. I would have to
watch. Project Cars.
That's like
know.
The only like, implementation of a cockpit view.
Ridiculous! That I've liked. This can't be real. No, these are just pictures. Fuck you.
I told you. I'm not convinced I can run it.
Aside from the visuals, the sound design is also. Really
this kind weird. Of reminds me of like that Grand Theft Auto realism mod, which made the cars also look like really. Have you seen that? The GTA 4.
Yep.
That actually looks wonderful.
But GTA 4 for PC is a really shitty
port.
True. So
I never got into Rockstar games. Like GTA, I have GTA 4, I have Red Dead Redemption. I got
L.A. Noire for free and I played like 10 minutes of it when
I loved L.A. Noire, but it wasn't really a Rockstar
game. It's a pixel hunt.
Yeah, exactly. Like if it's the best produced pixel hunt ever made. So
yeah.
Doesn't mean it's the best pixel hunt ever made, just the highest production values.
Yeah, exactly. If it ended after, you didn't get deep enough into know it, but if it ended after the Jack the Ripper equivalent case, that would have been awesome.
LA Noire.
But it didn't.
Oh.
Like, it kept going, and that was shit. I stopped playing after that point. So for me, I have really fond memories of it.
Yeah. So moving on to our main discussion.
No, Wii U.
Why do we need to talk about
the
Wii U?
I ended the discussion already.
Yeah, he ended it.
So is there like no price point you could be at that you'd consider? But what games
$99
would you possibly?
I think most Nintendo first party games are overrated as shit. So no.
What about Bayonetta 2?
No, because I never played the first Bayonetta, and if I want over the top action games, I can go elsewhere. That's why I have fucking Darksiders.
But she has big
Darksiders
boobies.
Is pretty good. Like it's different combat, but there's different character action games that deliver a similar rush that Bayonetta does.
Mm-hmm. So I'm also not going to drop that much money for one game.
Wait, how much is the Wii U again?
It's $2.99 for the base model.
$2.99. What?
It's $3.50. That's no
it's
one's
$3.50
buy the
for the real one.
One.
Yeah. Which is the bigger hard drive, which is still fucking tiny, and a free game, and like
Nintendo Land,
e-store credit and shit. Yeah, Nintendo Land,
the saddest
Nintendo
of lands.
Nintendo Land. Come on,
so no, absolutely nothing at this point that Nintendo does will convince me to buy that machine.
I'm kind of on the same because I skipped the Wii, and I'm not
like my parents
sad
got the family a Wii for Christmas. I played like two games on it. This motion control shit is dumb, and then I stopped.
Like I remember Wii being like the thing. It's like, oh, I'm playing this Wii game at a party. I think I'm gonna buy it for myself, and then it's just oh.
Well, we have a Wii, but it's my sister's. It's downstairs, and I've never touched it. I've never.
Yeah, my sister took it up to school, and I'm like, take it, have fun.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah, sure thing.
It's fun to play with other people. I'll say that, but it's not something you would sit down and play alone because.
But
like,
is it as fun to play with other people?
I've never owned a Wii.
I think it's actually more fun to get all the guys up here, like just hang out one night, like order like pizza or something, and just play FIFA.
Oh yeah,
the
is
whole
that
time.
An invitation?
And just play FIFA. Yeah, you want to play FIFA?
I was going to say D&D, but that says a lot about me because for me some of my favorite experiences from high school and first years of uni was just D&Ding with friends.
Never played D&D.
It's really good.
I remember bringing a bunch of computers to my house
improv.
And we played Europa 3.
All my friends are too self-conscious to play D&D.
People get improv, like if you can legitimately have hilarious experiences in inverted commas fantasy worlds.
Let's just play Cards Against Humanity, whatever.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that works.
That's online.
Well, yeah, that works.
The problem with Cards Against Humanity is having played it a lot, it's like if you play with the same people, it gets really fucking stale.
Really,
because everyone knows the cards.
Yeah, it's like hanger. Code hanger abortions. Oh, that's not shocking anymore. You get to the point where it's like the most shocking and disgusting things.
That's why I also didn't look at the expansion, the second expansion, when I got it.
Yeah, exactly.
I opened it up, saw the first card was a bigger, blacker dick. Put it back, said, okay, I know what I got. Close the box.
Exactly. Like, that's why they're releasing expansion packs. And if they released them in Australia, I'd be far more happy than I am now.
They have a Canadian one. It's really cool.
Are you going to PAX Australia, Cynic?
Do they have that? Is that
I don't think it's in Sydney. I think it was in Melbourne or something.
I don't know. How far is that? That doesn't... Paint me an image, Cynic.
It's pretty far.
I can't compare it to a distance over there, but by train, it would be 8 hours or 10 hours train.
Damn.
With a fast train. And by plane, it would be about an hour to 2 hours. Like two and a half hours.
Montreal to Toronto.
That's actually, I mean, that's kind of the same as from where I am to Boston, and I'm going to PAX East.
Mm.
I have my hotel booked already.
I doubt PAX Australia would be in the same league as any of the American PAXes, to be honest.
PAX I, come on.
PAX I.
PAX I.
Anyway. All right.
So moving on to the news, big announcement, which I'm personally excited for, is because I'm a Mac user, is that Guild Wars 2 has a
you liar.
Mac.
Oh, in beta.
I did not say that in any facetious or like any sort of offensive, sarcastic way, because I am definitely a Mac user. I love the technology, and I'm very excited for...
With the technology that Apple doesn't make?
Oh, God. Is this going to turn
expose
into that?
You?
No, I'm serious. Like, they use Intel CPUs. Yeah, Samsung makes the displays. Like, what
but at the end of the day, I think they're still a hardware company. They're out there to sell PCs.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, the only thing that separates them from a PC is the software. So, technically, they're a software company.
But, I mean, like... I don't think they give a shit about their software.
If Apple Maps is any example, they don't give a shit about their software.
So this is going to be a short episode today. Probably going to be like an hour and a half.
You were at half hour already. Good luck.
Which is why I wanted Noob to... Because we don't have anything past Noob. Like, we have news, sorry.
Plus,
we have
Durin's
these
dead,
two news topics, and that's it. Because Durin died. No, he didn't die. Just to be absolutely clear...
Durin's probably listening to this going, what the fuck? I'm still alive.
Durin is moving house. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Home. He's not actually dead. His family's okay.
Oh, he might be. We don't know.
Yeah, he might be dead. I don't know. I haven't heard from him in a couple of days, so who knows? It's like what's his face? That cat, the one that explains.
Schrodinger's cat?
Schrodinger's cat. Yeah, there you go.
When you open the box, the cat could either be a dog or a rabbit.
Yep, that's the one.
That's the one. what were we saying? Oh yeah, so Guild Wars 2 is coming to Mac. Oh yeah, so Noob, do you okay, I'm gonna quiz you on Mac. Alright. how do you install a program on Mac?
You drag this folder to like add-ons, don't you?
So that's actually pretty close. That's actually pretty close.
It's something like that.
Hold on, I would like to say to all Mac users, congratulations on getting your own Guild Wars 2 client, and also I'm sorry, you have to use a Mac.
I hope they put Mac users in own servers so we don't have to play with them.
No, it's not that bad. I want the people who are using controllers on their own servers.
Just quarantine them. And those Mac butt mouse, the weird fucking mice where you can't write.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. Noob, how do you
use a regular ass mouse with a Mac, though?
Yeah.
How do you make a window fill up the left half of your screen on Mac?
Don't you use it like a touch screen and you just like drag with your fingers?
Yep, no. Nailed it.
Is it that?
What do you mean?
It's like a mouse pad more than a mouse.
The answer is they like, can't do it. You have to use a third party add-on to make
that
happen.
Really fucking sad. Okay. poor Mac users.
Mac is okay, and Macs are
good computers for.
That's what I'm saying.
They're
hardware.
Gaming is not
company.
One of them.
They sell reasonably. Good hardware that's overpriced, but at the same time, they're
significantly
software.
Overpriced.
Oh yeah, I agree.
They don't
like,
license
the
their
iPhone
software.
Is a really, really solid piece of Samsung hardware.
we did this last week. There's
no Durin to defend the iPhone, so it's just gonna be a one-way thrashing of Apple products.
Dude, okay, did you guys ever buy an iPod?
I had one back in the day.
I had an iPod Classic.
Yeah, that was cool, right?
No.
That was cool, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
I think I broke my iPod within the first couple months, so I never bought it again. Too fucking expensive. So I went
how'd
to
you,
a sand,
oh wait, how'd
sand
you break, actually, I'm actually curious. How did you break it?
Oh, I went swimming with it.
That's a good way to break it.
What? What do you mean you went swimming with it?
I didn't go swimming with it. It just, I didn't, I don't know.
He chucked it in the water.
I took a long, hard stare at it.
Do you get bleeped?
Do I really want this? And I threw it.
Fuck you, Apple! Yeah.
In my mind's eye, when he said I was went swimming with it, I pictured him getting picked up by a bunch of bullies and then thrown into the water, into the sea.
Into the toilet. I just get shoved in the toilet.
So I have like an old iPod Touch. So I'm going to do one of two things with it. I'm either going to install Android on it just because.
Can you?
Holy crap. You just need to just unlock it and all kinds of crazy nonsense.
That's kind of cool.
I can figure it out. I can Google it. Or I'm going to take a sledgehammer to it. One of the two.
I haven't decided
which would be more satisfying.
I've just started giving all my Mac stuff to family members of various.
Well, like this thing, it doesn't really work. Like the battery's pretty much permadead.
It has to be plugged in
to be on.
Yeah, it happens.
It's a weird thing I saw is like this MacBook Pro had some trouble like booting up because it lost too much of its battery. So it couldn't boot up even though it was plugged in.
Wait, that'd be weird for it to boot off a battery power even if it's plugged in.
Yeah. Like they lost so much battery. I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but
it didn't seem... that can happen to any form of laptop. Like batteries just fucking die after a while.
Well, yeah.
They haven't.
But I mean, like my laptop, I can just take the battery out and if it's plugged in, it'll boot up just fine.
Yeah. Which is kind of sad. I wish better technology was in there.
What do you think about the fact that Guild Wars 2 is on the Mac?
I find it horrendously offensive, and it's fine because
it's not like it's going to bring any more people into the game. I mean, I'm sure it will, but not a significant amount.
No, I mean, I've seen a lot of people who post, why isn't this out on Mac?
But like all those people who care enough about gaming on their Macs are going to run it through some sort of third-party program anyway.
They're just going to go boot camp and do it that way.
Wine or something.
Yeah, it's just it's not difficult to get it running on a Mac. The only people you're
what
getting
we need is for games to come to Linux and run on OpenGL instead of DirectX because it's a lot more efficient. Like Valve already has Left 4 Dead 2, I think, running on Linux and on the same setup that it was running at like maybe 300 FPS on DirectX, it was running at well over 400 with OpenGL.
That's kind of cool, but also a very we aren't talking about.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, like,
I'm talking
about
games in general.
Back home, there's no Windows. It's just Red Star OS, which is a Linux-based operating system. Have you guys heard of it? Red Star OS?
Red Star OS?
No.
No.
Is that distributed by Glorious Leader?
Yes. and the intranet.
I didn't get that. High five, noob. That was subtle.
Wait, you didn't get that?
No, I didn't get that. I actually legitimately didn't get that. That's crazy.
Wow.
I apologize to everyone involved. Fuck you. No, Guild Wars 2 coming to Mac.
That's a thing. I don't know. I mean, like, I hope this is a good way to, like, get all of the Mac users to get on their, like, regular Macs. And it's like, these people have downloading the Mac client. Let's just ban all of them.
Or I hope what happens is people, like, load the game up on their Mac and just go, wow, this Mac is really expensive. It doesn't have the hardware to run this game well. Might as well buy a PC.
I'll admit, like, some Macs definitely could run this game.
Don't be crazy, Shinboy. What they'd actually do is, hey, I paid $3,000 for this Mac. It barely
runs
this game
at 30 FPS. Time to pay $4,000 for it.
Yeah. I better get an upgrade.
Time to just have Apple siphon the money out of my bank account.
One of the RAM sticks on my Mac got unseated. Time to buy a new Mac.
Speaking of which, I keep getting memory errors in World v. World.
Really?
I haven't gone to World vs. World.
Or like errors from the game itself.
Like the game crashes and I'm looking at the error and it says like a memory address cannot be read. And I thought running out of, time to drop $4,000 on a new Mac. No, but I thought it was because I was just running out of RAM, but like... Because I checked one time and my memory usage was in like the 90% range.
Oh, wow.
So I went into World v. World the other day again and had nothing else running save for Mumble. So I was at like, I don't know, 50, 60% because I only have 6 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And it still crashed and it was the same error. So I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Right. Yeah, right. That's probably a Guild Wars 2 thing.
Yeah, and it's like, only in World v. World.
Don't you have to pay for the operating system when you buy a Mac?
What? No. If you buy a Mac, it comes with it installed.
No, like, I thought you had to pay separately. There's a separate fee
for having that. Why would you even remotely have to do that?
I don't know.
Were you just buying the hardware?
No, in News World, Macs come with Windows installed, and then you have to pay a little surcharge.
Well, in my world, if I had to use a Mac, I would make a Hackintosh. And they're called Red Star OS. They come pre-installed with Red Star OS.
I thought they've got, it's gotten more and more difficult to make a Hackintosh.
I will find a way.
That's, I don't know. It's such a good...
I don't understand point of making a Hackintosh.
It's because you get a Mac for like $1,200 where you would have paid $4,500.
The point of getting a Hackintosh was to run the Mac OS on it.
Because Mac is useful. Like for example, if you want to
Except
run Final
all
Cut,
you people who say that like you need a Mac to do all this crazy editing, fuck you, all of us are doing this on Windows.
The interesting thing is like if Final Cut Pro didn't need what is it called? iOS.
Mac.
iOS?
Right.
Mac.
Right. You need to have an iPad, and you gotta like unlock the iPad thing to get the actual version of Final Cut Pro. That's the new thing.
Well, the big divide is between
you have to
Final
use
Cut
Apple
Pro.
Maps to find your key. Oh, God. Good luck finding it.
You reached the quota of 100 Apple Map hours. Now you can
How's Apple Maps, by the way? Wait, how do you have Apple Maps? What are you viewing it on?
iOS 6.
You have a...
No, but I've just been reading everywhere that it's fucking terrible. I've seen a whole bunch of screenshots of bridges that are wavy as hell, and I'm like, that doesn't look right.
That's a... Wait, so that doesn't make... What do you mean? Is it still... I thought it would just look like... Google Maps, but
no, because they dropped the Google Maps.
They dropped Google Maps.
No, but I thought it would just look the same, but provided by TomTom.
It is like really bad.
Like there's like clear errors with the world. Like
the world is like morphed as if like it's a melted piece of plastic.
It's like pretty flat stream suddenly has like a 500 meter bump in it. I don't know.
Oh man!
And like it was saying that like certain train stations are like in the middle of rivers and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, how else? That's how trains work. Have you
Google
never
Maps doesn't have ads on Android, right?
No. Nope.
So why are they? It was all over the YouTube app, right? That was the idea.
Oh, I'm confused. Apple just doesn't get along with Google for obvious reasons, so they dropped
Maps
support.
I think the divide came around because Google wanted to serve ads on the YouTube app, and then Mac was like, fucker. So Google's like, fine,
I have Google Maps open right now on my Nexus, and I don't see any sort of ads.
The YouTube app. Because Google Maps app. Is, the ads are the shops that you see when you zoom in. That's the ads. So.
Yeah.
But in YouTube app, we do get ads.
Let's load up a video of the Lincoln cast.
Oh God, stop it!
Oh,
don't
God.
Don't listen
see
to that
if
shit.
I get an ad.
Never mind. Terrible. Have you ever heard of that thing? They just talk about random stuff all episode, like Max.
It's Max. Have we gotten to Guild Wars 2 yet? I think we might have mentioned
Guild Wars 2 on a Mac.
Casually.
Yeah, I didn't get an ad, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
It could just be.
We should start using AdSense to advertise our podcast.
I have an AdSense account.
Why do you have an AdSense account? Oh, for your website. That's
for my blog.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Plug.
So, I think it's a bit too early for plugging.
When's the Mac version coming out? Do we know?
Is it in beta right now?
I don't know. I'm gonna bring up the Giant Bomb forum.
I'm pretty sure it's in beta right now.
Google Maps.
I guess we should just move on because there's nothing more we can really say aside from sighing and so on and so forth.
Macs are bad. Move on to Red Star OS.
People use Macs out there. I simply don't care. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to mine.
I think any other OS other than Red Star is a bit too dangerous because you find like adult content and dangerous ideas on the internet, and you got to filter
dangerous
that
adult
out.
Content.
Dangerous ideas, just in general, like free speech. right. So the next news topic.
Wait. Bringing Guild Wars 2 to the Mac is huge for us because it introduces the game to an entire group of players who have often been ignored by game developers. The ability to play together with your friends is one of the underlying principles of Guild Wars 2.
I don't have any friends that use a Mac. Get the fuck out.
Means that friends and guildmates can play together regardless of what operating system they favor. How could you be a guildmate if they could not previously? God damn it.
Yeah.
What about Linux?
What's a Linux?
Yeah, what about Linux? Anyway.
There's no fucking Linux client.
Something about dungeon changes and Red Star OS. Tell me about dungeon changes, Himboy.
Oh, what, God. Yeah, you don't know what it is. You just asked me. Okay.
What? Don't expect me to be a legitimate
so they,
host.
Last week we were talking about speed clears and all that nonsense.
I'm the King Jong-un.
Like, fuck you guys.
I'm Kim Jong-un of this podcast. I'm no.
Anyway.
They did kind of say fuck you guys.
Yeah,
it's kind of
yeah,
sad.
They were just like, hey, you guys are too good at our game, so fuck you.
Fuck you. Be worse. They should have just... like halved everyone's level and be like, now you can level up again.
No, it was pretty much just like people were speed clearing and getting ludicrous amounts of money. So they reduced the rewards for repeating story mode.
Oh, yeah, right.
For repeating the same path of an explorable mode. And I think if you do two explorable modes in under 30 minutes each, something like that.
Right.
But they bugged them like crazy when they changed it. And they also broke a few dungeons in the process.
So the general idea was that people would find speed cure routes to a number of the dungeons.
Right.
And so instead of changing the dungeons themselves to make that more... well, they did to some extent.
But they did that.
Yeah, they changed some things to make it a little bit more difficult to speed clear. From my understanding, it wasn't actually too big a hit. But the main thing they did was reduce the rewards of dungeons after the first time done per day. Is that the main thing?
Well, it was already that. You went from getting 30 tokens to 20, but... you could still...
I thought it was like just forever. I thought you always started getting 20 after you.
No, it reset every day when like dailies reset and stuff.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So you can get 30 once per day.
But now, how have you tried a dungeon recently to see?
I mean, I've done dungeons. We did Honor of the Waves, and I got 30, but we didn't repeat it.
Yeah, because there's a couple of things like I have questions about. It's like, what if you do multiple paths through the dungeon? Like, for example, if you try and get Honor of the Waves,
tried to do that, but the other path for Honor of the Waves, the butcher path, the boss doesn't spawn, and the floor in the boss room has no collision detection, so you just fall through it
and just keep falling.
No, you go into the area below, which is for a different one of the explorer paths.
But you can't get back into the room
without porting.
And you can't finish the...
and you can't finish it because the boss isn't there.
That's
which
stupid.
I think is because the game doesn't know where to place the boss because there's like no
there's
surface
no floor.
There technically.
Yeah, that's so dumb.
One question.
Yeah, so there you go, ahead.
Do we know if Guild Wars 2 has like a drop rate system like in Guild Wars 1 where drops decrease over time if you
yes.
do the same area over and over again?
Yes. Okay. It does.
But it's really not that noticeable because the drops out of chests are kind of shit anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I mean like just out of kills. Just like if you're farming
yes.
for a specific
item. Yeah, so if you farm a specific area, you'll find that the rarity and intensity, sorry, the not the...
the numbers.
The amount of drops you get yeah. reduces.
I've also found that I have no like scientific proof behind this, but maybe it's just because I've killed more of these, but I feel like you get better drops from event mobs than you do from the mobs that are just there.
Really?
That's just my personal experience. I have
Maybe.
No idea if that's
Maybe.
Actually true.
I always thought it was like that because especially in events where it's like large groups, it's just the fact that you're killing way more people at a time and it's
yeah, that
like
could be
it
too.
A lot more drops.
But it can also swing the other way because some events just don't give you drops.
No.
At all.
Right.
Like no drops from any of the things spawned, and that's also a piece of
like a good example is the one outside of the Gates of Arra where you need to like protect that area. You have to mm-hmm. hold it for like 8 minutes or whatever.
Right.
In like the 8 minutes, I'll get like a dozen greens and like a gold most of the time.
Right.
Is that a lot or a little? That's a lot, but it sounds like
a dozen greens. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. And that's
but I mean, like, I remember
minutes?
Doing something like that in Hithrawi Highlands where you're just fighting against at least maybe 100 centaurs. Like, at that number, it doesn't seem amazing to get that many drops, I feel like. Just hundreds.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It could just be like, it seems like you're killing so many
yeah.
things.
Hmm.
I mean, you regularly don't fight mobs like that.
You don't.
No. I mean, like hundreds of them at a time.
You don't.
I fight thousands of them, and they're like gold level, and they're stronger than you. And my dad could beat up your dad.
It's kind of weird because hand in hand with that announcement and those changes and the various broken things that
well, like, can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
About that, like. I'm happy that they're trying to balance speed clears. I just think they went about it the completely fucking wrong way.
Absolutely the wrong way. Absolutely the wrong way.
They're like, instead of balancing the dungeons, they're punishing people for being too good at them.
Right.
Which is not the way you want to balance it.
Yeah. Yeah,
at all. Like, you should just make them
and also
harder.
The way I've seen, they need to balance the explorable modes. There should never be the quote-unquote easy way in an explorable mode. They should all be the same. And they are not.
Well,
because
they should all be roughly the same difficulty level.
Yes.
Otherwise, you'll have no motivation other than achievements.
Is that even possible in realistic sense? Like,
I mean, there could always be an easier one, but there should never be one like
obviously
you can farm
easy,
it in like
20
minutes. As
there shouldn't be
to,
like 2 hours, 2 hours, 20 minutes as the run times. That should never be the case. But the one I have most experience with
is
one that was...
I think they should have an impossible boss spawn every couple of runs that kills everything and can't die. That's a good way to balance out these speed clears. Like, oh god, the impossible thing has spawned. Time to restart.
Well, we had one where we were doing a COF speaker one time and the NPC got stuck in a wall and we couldn't advance.
Oh, they actually wanted that to happen. Is what
probably.
It's weird because just last week we talked about how speed clearing is a legitimate form of endgame PvE.
It always was in Guild Wars. So
even if you're doing it just for the tokens, if they reduce the money amounts and you do it just for the tokens, I think that's fine.
Yeah, but
even if you are speed clearing just for the tokens, it still takes a lot of runs to get the gear.
Mm-hmm. But like, there's been again, we don't really have any solid evidence because we haven't really had the chance to test ourselves. But there's stories out there of people getting 30, 20, 20, 25.
What? Or I've seen like people getting like, if they're repeating a story mode over and over, just in silver, getting like 30, 10, 6, 18.
Wow.
Like, it's been all over the place.
It's just so weird.
Jesus.
But the main thing with that is, and the number one thing that Benny keeps talking about, and I 100% agree, is wouldn't it be great if they just came out and said what the new algorithm was? At least let us know what the fuck you changed and what we can do to get around
that's,
it.
That's why
they never post their algorithms, do they?
No. It's bullshit. Like, just saying, hey, we made X harder, or hey, we made adjustments to Y, that doesn't help anyone. Like,
saying if they do a balance patch, saying, hey, we nerfed Heartseeker, but they didn't say why.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how are you so descriptive when it comes to your balance changes in PvP, but for PvE guys are just so...
Like, I'm assuming crap. It's just, oh god, if they figure out this, they might find a way to exploit it. I'm assuming that's the mentality. Because,
the only way to figure out what the reduced rewards are to speed clear a dungeon like three times in a row.
Yeah, and to literally waste your time once.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I haven't bothered. I don't care enough. Like, especially with COF, I have all the gear. I got my rifle and I got my gloves, so I have all the gear that I want out of there. So I'm probably going to do the other two paths for the achievement when that time comes, and other than that, I'm done with that place. So
yeah. So they've now essentially removed some of the desire for people to do speed clears, at least in the way we like people used to do speed clears, which is getting down one dungeon really well and doing that over and over again.
Which I think is hurting PvE in general, because there's not as many people doing dungeons in general.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's no longer. Well, there. I think there's still the amount of people who want to do dungeons. It's just that now they don't really have a place to go. There are 9 dungeons in this game, of which they have 3 plus pods. So there's shitloads.
There's 8
of
dungeons, aren't there?
8. Okay, 8 dungeons. So 3 plus pods over 8 dungeons. So you look at 24 plus pods. How does your audience know which ones they want to run? How are you going to get any congregation around any specific place if there isn't ones which people gravitate towards? Like for example, Citadel of Flame.
What I think it's going to turn into, which it already is starting to turn into, is people just farming like the first boss or the first two bosses of certain runs.
Yeah.
Like the Wrath Farm, which we also started doing with Honor of the Waves, the Broken Path, the Butcher Path.
Mm-hmm.
The first two chests are back-to-back.
Right.
It's literally you kill one boss, the door opens, the
and
next
many,
boss is in that room.
Essences is that?
That's 10 tokens.
Yeah.
So and if you do it right, it's pretty much like two groups of trash, then the two bosses, and that's it.
And then how fast is that?
I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes.
But wouldn't
well, I mean, this
still...
this isn't something new that they've done. I mean, like, I remember a long time ago in Guild Wars, like, especially for bosses that were really close to towns and stuff like that, they would the drop rate would go plummeting.
But I found it weird that they balanced it this quickly after, like, in the first game, the UW speed clear and Fissure Bow speed clear with Shadowform. They let that go for months.
Right.
Hmm.
Knowing that it fucked with the economy something fierce.
Right. And with this one, they're just being way more defensive in their strategy.
Yeah, so and it's not like it's messed with the economy that much. Ectos went from like 20 silver to like 18.
Yeah, that's pretty much the difference. And it's and now it's back up to 20. It wasn't so actually 20. That. Yeah, yeah, it's like shrug. Who the fuck?
They were up to 22 for like a day or two, and now they're back down to 20.
Yeah, so it's just like what have you done to anything? You've just
I think it was a knee jerk reaction.
Yeah,
it was very knee jerk. Defensive strategies for these video games, I think, is negative. Always negatively affects them, especially for stuff like this. Nerfs aren't the way I like to see things done. As you said, they should have nerfed them. They should have made them more difficult.
I don't want to use the word nerf. I want to say they should rebalance them because they weren't
right.
I don't know. I feel like it should have been handled way different.
Mm-hmm. They should
maybe they will. Maybe they'll remove the limitations. Maybe they're working on the balance, and this is what they had to put in the meantime. We don't know.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping has happened. Because again, yeah, that, back to my segue. So Colin Johansson, game director for Guild Wars 2, kind of responded to a lot of people who talked about. Well, have been posting about the dungeons and explorer mode dungeons for quite a while now. Generally complaining about their difficulty and stuff like that. Who wants to read this out? Because I read out the last one. I'm going to post.
I don't have the post open.
Yeah,
I'm posting the link now. So, Noobarama.
Okay.
It's actually a pretty long post, but I think it's a really good post. So if you could read it.
Oh God, that is a wall of text.
Do not nerf, please. Loading. Guild Wars 2 forum. White screen. All right, here we go. Colin Johansson, game director. This cool little red thing. Six days ago, ArenaNet. Quote, "What I would call hard was trying to run Domain of Anguish and Malix with a balanced setup in the first weeks it was released. Many people called it impossible, but it was a heck of a lot of fun to do.
Yep.
Why? Because it offered variety and fluid gameplay, quick and deadly like it should be. Not kiting a mob for 2 minutes and then walking into the next mob, rinse and repeat. I'll point out, ironically, when we first turned on DOA back in Guild Wars 1, the post you've been seeing on this forum from a few folks about difficulty were the exact same comments everyone had about DOA. It was impossible. Mobs just turned to do insane damage and have huge HP. There was no tactics to defeat DOA, etc. I went back and read through the original DOA launch feedback, and it was literally identical to the comments folks on the forums are leaving now. Wow. We made the choice back then to stick with the difficulty and give people time to learn how to play the dungeon better and overcome it. A few months later, people viewed it as the most fun thing in the game and totally reasonable without us changing anything. We'll be doing the same for the Guild Wars 2 explorable dungeons. Our own internal testing teams and alpha test groups learned to beat them using a combination of player skill. Oh my god, my Guild Wars 2 launched.
Synchronous builds, strong use of crossbows and combos, use of cooking consumable buffs. These made a huge difference, and well-informed player tactics. By comparison, after having months of play time and time for our alpha, months of time to play and our alpha was complete, some of our better dungeon groups felt the explorable dungeons were too easy for launch. We decided not to make them any harder given the expected player skill on launch. You can start the next paragraph, I guess.
Launch. We're actively monitoring every dungeon and working on balancing issues we encounter appropriately. We'll be keeping an eye on bosses we don't think have enough varied mechanics to warrant their large health pools, and updating them over time to make them more varied slash interesting fights. We'll be monitoring and continually tweaking and adding dungeon rewards over time, and of course balancing where we see the need. And of course we'll be adding more dungeons as well! Exclamation mark. All that said, the game is very new for most of our players, and I can absolutely promise, with more knowledge of the game and advanced player skill, the explorable dungeons can all be overcome by skilled groups. We've seen many groups just do it fine in our internal alpha test once they had time to learn how to play the game well. Just like Domain of Anguish in Guild Wars 1, it takes time and practice to learn how to overcome stuff as hard as our explorable mode dungeons, and that's exactly the kind of players they are designed for. If DOA was any indication, a couple of months from now, many of you will likely be posting saying most of the dungeons are too easy and you need to find better challenges. To learn to play faggots. That's exactly what he said.
That is so accurate. Oh my god. But also,
I mean, to a certain extent he's right. Yeah. I mean, to a certain extent he's right, and to a certain extent he's not.
He's absolutely wrong in some cases. Like, in some cases, dungeons are just broken. Like, the
like
final
he honestly knows nothing
missing.
About the game. Who does he think he is?
But who does in he other think cases, he is? Like, for example, why does the Ascalon Catacombs Explorer mode take 4 hours to complete in your first time through with a fresh group, compared to Honor of the Waves, it takes like 1.5 to 2 hours maximum first time through Explorer mode.
To be fair, we were all level 80 when we did Honor of the Waves, and we were all like level 50 when we did AC.
Well, we never got stuck in Honor of the Waves. Like the protection room, inverted commas, for all of the Ascalon Catacombs.
But I mean, the thing is, like, you've learned a bunch of mechanics from dungeons, and that's helped you along in later dungeons.
There was no equivalent challenge. That's what I'm kind of pointing out. In Honor of the Waves, it's just boss, 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 boss. But in Ascalon Catacombs, there is boss, which is difficult but overcomable, a protection room, so it's a secondary challenge that was very different to anything else you've done in the past. And all three paths have an entirely different second room, even though they're both protection missions. So they're all protection missions. And then there's another objective, invariably, and all three of them are different, but that's an entirely different objective that doesn't involve killing a single boss and moving forward. And then finally, the final boss. Like, it was multiple different objectives, all of different difficulties.
But the thing is, now most people that I know that are doing AC are doing it really quick.
Yeah, but you have to figure it. There's no figure it out moment with the other explorer modes I've done. There's no like different objective that you have to learn and get down and optimize for. There's just killing mobs.
COF in the speaker, there was that room with all the bombs where you need to find the bombs and bring them back to the NPC.
Okay. So
and you have a 2-minute time limit on doing that. But the thing is, once you learn where those bombs are, it's super easy.
It doesn't change?
No, the locations are static.
But see, for example, I'm going to ruin this for some people out there, but I'll only ruin one of the three pods. And the easiest one of that. For Ghost Eater, there is a section where you have to have multiple people split across trap controls, and there's a huge horde of enemies that storms your NPC and tries to take it down, the one you're protecting. And if she dies, everything resets. So the entire thing
is
about...
Oh god, is it like that fucking... What's his face? In Ascalon Catacombs.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Ghost Eater run in Ascalon Catacombs.
This one's easy, though.
Yeah, it's not easy the first time you do it. You have to learn it. Because if you don't do the traps right, and you don't have people managing the mobs, and you don't have...
Well, you know the easiest way to do it...
Which way is yours?
You get 4 people on the traps.
Yep.
And you just have... If you have a heavy armor, you just have him stand in the traps and just run around.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the way to beat that. But you have to figure that out. If you didn't figure it out, then it takes you a long time to figure that out. Because you'd think that he'd die instantly. But if he does it just right... Or if he's just really fucking tanky, a level 80 tank.
Or if you pay attention, a lot of the really, really small ones don't attack. They're just there to cause panic.
That's interesting.
Which admittedly does work.
Yeah, totally works. And also, like, the only ones you really have to watch out for are the ones that knock you down. Like, everything else kind of. And the breeder. So,
well, the breeder is part of the objective.
So that's why I didn't mind ruining this one, because it's kind of the easiest of the three by far. Like, he as long as it takes you that moment to figure how to take down that part of the dungeon, and once you do it, you're fine. But there's no equivalency of that to the other dungeons. Like, there's no secondary objective that really has a trick to it that you have to find and you have to work hard to attain at all. Like, they're all just mob stomps from what I've seen.
Right,
that's kind of sad.
Well, like CM, there's one hallway in the butler path where there's a whole bunch of rocket turrets,
mm-hmm.
and you need to pick up like the special weapon before the hallway, and you need to time the rockets coming at you to blast them back at the turrets, and that's how you advance through the hallway. That was really cool. The rest of the dungeon was fucking broken as shit, and I'm never going back there. Revan and I have a blood pact to never ever step foot into CM Explorable ever again.
But that sounds cool, and that's the kind of stuff I want to see in these dungeons.
See, that's the kind of stuff that's awesome. The rest of that dungeon where there's two groups of like 40 things each, and as soon as you walk into the room, you aggro them, and the only way to get past there that we found anyway was to get them to reset when we ran past them.
Oh man, that's sad. And
that's
also
the kind of shit that, like, when Colin said, like, you need to learn to play better, I'm like, no, this is bullshit.
This is broken bullshit. Like, for example, in Honor of the Waves...
You think it's broken, but that's because you're bad. You need to learn to
pee. In Honor of the Waves dungeon, there is a... They've changed it, apparently, from what me and Shinboy talked about before the episode started. But there was a boss which stood in a stairwell in one of the three pods. And there's, like, a huge hallway, and the stairwell at the end of the hallway, like, one of those big, elaborate staircases. And he's standing in the middle of it. And so as you walk in, he spawns a bunch of ads spawn all the way around.
They're already there.
For us, they kind of spawned. They were already there. You walk in, and you kill them, then you can damage him. But what happened when we played it was then immediately, like, everything was, like, on a less than 45-second timer, the ads came back. And they're pretty, they're all silvers. Like they weren't simple. They weren't trapped. They weren't bronzes or anything. They were pretty hard to kill. And all of them would respawn and then rush your team again. So, and during that, he had a huge damage reduction on him. That you, so you had to kind of kill the trash before you could kill him again. The thing is, after, because they all have AoE, they just wore us down. Like we, the first time we did it, we got him down to about 90% health. So he did 10% of his health and damage, but then we all just got worn down and killed. Eventually, we had to do part things where we had to have two people go up the stairs behind him and go up to the top where it's difficult for him to spawn any adds and DPS him from the top and keep him in combat while three people stay on the ground and run up and down the stairs to give the AI a hard time to keep up with you. To try and manage those mobs and slowly DPS them down that way. Like that's the only way we had to do it. And it took us around 30 to 40 minutes just to take down the one. No, it was like 20 to 30 minutes to take down that one boss. That was, if we didn't cheese it by having two people at top who could just DPS him without any like negatives, then we wouldn't have been able to beat him. Like it was just.
See, like I've done that run a good amount of times and he has never spawned any
that again. Yeah, it's as if
so
they
either
just
it was bugged for you or yeah. It was bugged for me every time or they changed it.
They changed it. I think it's most likely
because
we
know,
were
man.
The first people in that guild to
you
do
just,
that one.
You guys just don't sound like the high level players that are highly
actually,
organized
like,
or
even, I mean, I wouldn't
that,
call
that
him difficult, that boss, but he hits pretty damn hard either way.
He hits real hard. So when
so
we
like,
did
he,
it with
he's
him
still
hitting
a challenge.
Hard... And all those mobs, it was. It, I would have called it broken. People were just pissed off. Like I wasn't particularly pissed because I'm used to AC and that kind of stuff. But he was annoyingly different.
There was a few times in one of the other runs where I was just like, nope, I don't feel like doing this anymore. I forgot what path, but that boss we tried cheesing. The underwater boss. Which path was it? Not the butcher, because that's the one that's currently broken. The zealot, I think.
The one with
you
the
can
quagon.
Pull him out of the map.
Oh, really?
What?
One of the bosses in there. You can
wait. Did you do this with Thurbleton?
Yes.
Yeah. Did he show you that hole in the wall in the bottom right hand corner?
If you go all the way to the far right, go up, you can actually pull him out.
That's dumb.
But the thing is, it's actually easier if you fight him where you're supposed to.
Well, this thing, because what he does is, I don't want to spoil these dungeons for people, but he's just one boss in a dungeon that was otherwise interesting, if not uneventful.
That run was tough, but it wasn't, like, that was
that
the
was
kind,
good,
that
was
the kind of run that I can see Colin Johansson saying, like, you guys have to, like, you know, pick up your game here.
Yeah,
that was balanced.
That was well balanced. Like, one of the waves until they broke it was probably the best balanced dungeon I've done. The only thing missing from
the story mode. The story mode boss is.
He was balanced. Just jump in the water.
The hunter and his pet.
I figured it out first time through. You're the one who messaged
me. Really tough. Yeah, he's really really tough.
Yeah, if you don't figure that out, if you don't figure out his trick,
that'd be a good explorable mode final boss. That's not a good story mode final boss.
Yeah, because story modes are kind of expected to be a bit easier. Like significantly easier, I should say, than explorable modes. But either way, like the only problem with one of the ways before was the lack of interesting secondary objective. It was just all like AI stomp all the way through, but it was a good level of difficulty at least. So
yeah.
In that case, Colin Johansson's right, but that can so some of the dungeons being much easier than others, and some of them just being broken at the moment. Like not like I was talking about missing floor broken, like actually legitimately cannot finish them.
Yeah, and also we tried to do the Mersat path in Arrah, and the first boss didn't trigger.
There's a what path?
Wait, oh
you
god, spoilers.
Me.
Stop.
Spoilers.
Stop.
I didn't know that.
Fuck it's you. A per, it's it tells you when you walk in.
Fuck you. Fuck
still,
you.
That is fuck that's you. Interesting to know. I don't want to see them. I want to see
okay.
the new.
I'm not gonna tell you what they are, but I'm saying there's four paths in Arrah, and they all have to do with a pretty significant race to the lore.
That's cool. I mean, they're pretty unseen, aren't they?
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Wait, so how does it explain that?
Wait, how does it explain? You're basically doing research on them.
Oh.
Okay. Well, it is 250 years in the future.
Oh, God. Do they have spectral agony?
I don't know, because the first boss bugged.
Do I need infused armor?
Although, I will say, if you are a fan of the Guild Wars lore, the NPC that you talk to when you first walk in that place, who's in the first cutscene, pretty awesome.
That's really? Pretty cool. Again, this has made me want to run Arrah, but from what I've heard, my rounds
see, like,
broken.
most of the explorable modes, I'm like, with the story, but all the Arrah ones, I actually want to pay attention.
The problem, I don't know, like, if... I remember Spectral Agony was the most fucked thing ever.
Secret of Agony was awesome when you first come up against it, because you had no way of dealing with it whatsoever.
Like, oh, what's the spectral out? Oh my god.
What the fuck?
What's this thing they just put on me? Oh god, I'm dead.
So good. So good. And
it's
that's
like, what, you want me to infuse every piece of armor I have? Especially if you're doing the Warren Kreider shit. Oh god, fuck that.
So hilarious. So hilarious. Anyway, I guess that's it for news. Dungeons are undergoing some changes. Shrug.
Yeah, like, I am the head dungeoneer, and I haven't been spending that much time in dungeons just because their current state is not good.
Yeah. It's the rewards need to continue to be tweaked. And
no, the rewards, if you do a full run, like an hour and a half, let's say, if you have a kind of team, for 30 tokens is fine.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Like, well, doing dungeons the first time through is my interest in dungeons, and that's where it ends. And I think I said it last week, speed clears aren't my thing, but speed clears, I think we all recognize, is, as we said last week, a definite way of playing Guild Wars 2.
That they, I think, it's weird that they're trying to, like, stomp them out.
It's, yeah, it's kind of not,
it's like sudden, like 180 for them in terms of their stance towards them.
Yeah. Like, what happened to playing the way you want to play? Like, it's,
like, they didn't get stomped out in the first game until the ecto farming completely raped the economy.
Mm. There you go. And with that,
like how you rape the fun.
I'll rest back the control of the show from Newbrama.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
You think there's going to be holiday events soon?
Of course.
Yeah, they've already announced they're going to be holiday events.
Oh, like, no, I mean, like,
Christmas,
the Halloween thing. Halloween.
Ooh, Halloween. It might be a bit early.
King Returns.
That's like a
month. Might be a bit early. I expect them to be ready by Christmas.
Yes, they did have.
One came out? Like, on the first year?
Yes, I believe so, because it launched in the spring.
Right. Okay.
So they had plenty of time.
They have April Fools. Launch the game on April Fools and launch it broken. Yeah.
But yeah. So
update news.
Go ahead.
I have some update notes. Okay.
I need
to
finish this episode out.
for September 18th, 2012, here are the patch notes for today's game update. General: fixed female voiceover lines that were not playing during some story cinematic sequences.
Thank Christ.
Fixed an issue where NPCs would stop moving and result in some events from being blocked. Fixed issue in Kakedas' manor. Fixed issues in other dungeon that Shinboy was complaining about.
Oh, they definitely did a bunch of dungeon fixes.
Oh, also, before we started recording this, I logged into Guild Wars 2, went to LA, and all the NPCs were moved. It's weird.
Really? They were?
Like, you know,
was
the
like
merchant,
slightly moved.
You know the merchant in at the bottom of the stairs in front of the bank?
Yeah.
Standing right in the middle of the fucking stairs.
What
the
hell? There's like nudged a couple of the NPCs over. Everyone's just like,
accident?
What the fuck?
It was weird.
You know what? That reminds me of the Stasi tactics of interrogation methods, where they would go the Takfuji, where they would send in a million troops, and it was really extreme.
All right, and with
like, they'd like move furniture while people weren't in the house, and then like send their wives a vibrator or something. I don't know.
And this is a short episode of Linkin Cast, because we wanted to do a full like state of the game episode,
never
but not
mind,
pretty much everyone couldn't make it.
Like,
so.
You.
And we're all tired. I'm tired, at least.
I'm not tired.
I'm full tired. I've had a long week. So, with that, one hour episode special.
Someone like you.
Do you have anything else, Shinboy?
We didn't get to talk about... Oh, wait, never mind. It was all about the next week. I didn't say anything.
Thanks for listening to the Linky Cast.
Like us on Facebook. More Facebook likes.
The second part of my dungeon, like a post series with all the dungeon shit that happened. I had to go back and tweak that, so it's not done yet.
Yay! So check out those in the future. Long. Also, the Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub. If you want to see new, do you actually log into Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub server anymore?
Yeah, I do. I was on it a couple minutes ago.
Sometimes it lasts in love, but it hurts sometimes.
So we have Noob sing us out.
Yes, yeah, so Noob sing us out. Also, you can contact us at the Linky Cast on Twitter.
Like
TheLinkyCast@gmail.com. And
just have it gradually get louder.
You do.
I can do that in post. Yeah, I can do that in post.
Don't forget me.
Also, you can post in the forums where we put up our shows. I'll try to get them up probably Tuesday or so. Goodbye.
Never
sing us out.
Never mind. I'll find someone.
Okay. Okay. That's good enough.